But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
You guys know that we are people of faith, and we know that a lot of you listening are as well. Today, we are going to bridge the gap between faith and fitness. So for context, this actually came from a presentation that Mike gave at our church men's group on what the Bible says about being fit. We'll be sharing, discussing, and dissecting what it says today. Now, part of the reason that Mike was asked to give it and why we've talked to our church in the past about nutrition and exercise is that so many Christians actually struggle in this area. And while all types of people struggle regardless of faith or religion, Christians in particular seem to struggle for an interesting reason, which Mike and I will get into later.
Well, there's no better place to open up than with some scripture. So I'm going to just start right off in John 2:19 to 21. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Throughout the Bible, we are given reference after reference to the body. And there are approximately 165 verses in the Bible about the body, and 56 of them specifically about the human body, and the body of Christ is mentioned about 16 times. Now, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, which is what we believe, then based on the frequency and context in which the body is discussed throughout the scriptures, you might say that the body is pretty important to God.
I would say so. You know, it's when we think about the fact that we are three parts, right? We are mind, we are body, and we are spirit. And, you know, our belief that like the three in one, the body is so important. I mean, Joyce Meyer, I think, does a beautiful job talking about the battlefield of the mind. Craig Groeschel wrote one of my favorite books ever on our mind and how important it is to protect our mind. And I don't know, maybe we get to be those people that talk about how important the body is. Because it's literally the vehicle that carries your spirit around for your entire life here in this life on this earth. And it really, I mean, just to be honest and serious, like it really pains me when I see people that are not fit, healthy, and well, but especially people in church that I know struggle because I've spoken to a lot of them and you've spoken to a lot of them and they share their struggles. And it makes me so sad knowing that they have the faith down. They believe that God created them on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose in this season for now, but then to not feel energized, focused, clear, sleeping well, you know, your mood, that all pours into your personality and your ability to carry out the mission that you believe God has placed you here on this earth to fulfill. And like, I don't know what else to say other than like, it makes me really sad.
Well, from there, I think then a good place to transition is to the prophets. And in the Bible, you've heard of prophets like Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. It was said of the prophets back then, just like those of today, that they carry a, quote, burden. In biblical terms, a burden is a heavy message of weighty importance, heavy in the sense that it produces sorrow or grief. Now, while I'm certainly no prophet, I think we both know that, some of what I will be talking about, though, actually will feel somewhat heavy to some people. So I just want to kind of put that out there before we really dive in deep.
Don't stop listening.
No, absolutely not, because I think it's still very important. And as you know, by nature, I'm a very optimistic individual, and I love encouraging others. In fact, you know, as many of you out there already know, the tagline and the core focus of our business is we build people up, which I actually got from 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which when Paul had said, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing." And I remember when I first read that, it hit me like, yes, that's exactly what we do. We build people up physically, mentally, and emotionally, and maybe in this case for some of you, spiritually. But I just to take a quick side note on that, I remember when I read that and I knew that we had a meeting coming up with all of our team right? Our current franchisees, and we were going to have this retreat and we were going to come up with what our core value was. And at that point, everybody had already written down or brainstormed what they thought our core focus should be. And I remember writing that one down, like we build people up, and I'm like praying over it. I'm like, this needs to be it. This needs to be it. But I didn't
Hold on. We did not talk about this before. I will never forget that when that was put up, because we had different post-its that we put up. I'll never forget on the board. And that was the one that kept getting votes and kept getting votes and kept getting votes. And it wasn't for me. Months later, I ended up in Ecclesiastes and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is biblical. I had no idea that that's where you found it.
Yeah, those are the two places. It's in 1 Thessalonians and Ecclesiastes. Paul had said in both of those about building others up. And, yeah. And I just remember, like I said, I know it's a little aside right now, but it hit me like, yes, that's exactly what we do.
It is. I mean, it perfectly sums up what we do. And I mean, just a quick aside, how many motivational speakers take so much of what they say from the Bible? I mean, when you trace back a lot of what's shared by big people like Tony Robbins, I mean, a lot of it is biblical truth. And I think, I just feel like I need to say this for someone. I feel like people get like a little crazy because it's like, oh, it's religion or it's Christianity. And they're like excluding other faiths. And like, that's actually not it at all. That's not what Jesus came to do, was to judge people, discriminate people, you know, make outcasts like out of people. But it was actually to bring people together. And that's why I love that biblical truth of building people up, because we get to do that in so many different ways. And I think everyone that leaves our business, whether they're virtually with us online or at a physical location, they leave changed. In fact, can I just share this? This is not planned. This literally just came in. I was blow drying my hair to get ready for this. I can't say enough good things about Pure Physique. I've always done some sort of exercise or have worked out with a trainer. After a hiatus from working out, I knew I needed to get back into something. Mike and Corey's way of instruction and motivation coupled with their knowledge and encouragement is exactly what I needed. I'm starting to notice a difference in how strong I feel again. I just talked with Jill on the phone earlier today and she was like, I feel so much better. I feel so much different. She's like, I took a 4-year hiatus from working out and like couldn't find something that works. She was like, this, it fits, but it's funny. People are like, they love the 30-minute workout, but people always say they love the encouragement. You know, and that I know is God's gifting on you and on me, is to encourage people. And that is like, we're physically building them up and then we're mentally and emotionally building them up. We're not handing out Bibles or people that get crazy. But if you ask for one, we'll give you one, you know?
Well, that said, I mean, the reason why I just wanted to go down that route for a minute is because, as I mentioned before, a lot of what we will talk about today, you know, there is some weightiness to it. And I just wanted to help everybody understand that the purpose of this, though, for many is just to provide the truth. I mean, that is essentially what we're here to do. And we want to make sure everybody's headed in the right direction when it comes to their health journey. So Mark 5:28-29, she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, how many of us here today are suffering in our bodies and we want to be set free? We're seeking healing, right? I mean, all of us, you know, we call God the great healer. We call him the great physician. But one of the ways that he heals is by providing us with all the tools and resources we need to heal ourselves. But unfortunately, you know, often, but not always, the cause of the suffering that we're seeking this deliverance from is caused by ourselves. You know, we sometimes do this to ourselves. And what I mean by that is a large number of diseases and illnesses are self-inflicted. So you think about type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, high blood pressure, fatty liver disease, celiac, and other gut issues, as well as arthritis and osteoporosis, obesity. These are all, most of the time, the result of our food and our lifestyle choices.
Yes.
And even though many people know the risk of cancer, if you're a smoker, they still choose to smoke. We know that drinking alcohol regularly can lead to cardiovascular as well as liver disease, but it doesn't stop people from drinking on a regular basis. Yeah. Then we look at things like poor sleep, low energy, lack of strength. Those are choices. Those are choices that we make. But if we want to play that blame game and say, it's our job, it's our genetics, it's our wife's cooking, it's our husband's cooking, you know, the kids, or I'm Italian, I'm Hispanic, that's just the way that we eat. It screams of victim mentality. Go ahead.
That's going to be hard for a lot of people to swallow. And I remember actually having words with someone about this where they were like, you don't understand, like, you know, my kids are suffering with XYZ. And so what I want to say is we can't control everything, but we need to control the things that we have control over. So what we put in our mouth is huge, huge. And I've been a really big advocate for lower sugar, less sugar in the schools I worked in the programs our children are in, because a lot of people are like, oh, they just can't focus. No, it's their immune system, right? It's the obesity down the road. It's setting them up for type 2 diabetes, you know? And I don't think we think about food that way. I think we're just like, well, it's just food, or it's just a snack, or it's just a little bit and it's not a big deal. So for the person that like is maybe giving a little bit of pushback to a statement like that, like we have control, you can't control everything. You live by water that, you know, ended up giving your family cancer because it was polluted. That's one thing. But don't turn around and be like, I don't know why I'm obese, when you really look at your eating habits and they leave a lot to be desired.
Well, I think what it boils down to is a lot of us are giving power to our circumstances, yes, as well as power to other individuals. You know, instead of taking that responsibility that I have.
You took that responsibility in our house.
Yeah.
I was buying the kids fruit snacks and he was like, no more. And I'm like, okay, fine. So that was it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, we would have done what we always did. I got a fruit snack pack in my lunch growing up. So I was giving our kids a fruit snack pack in their lunch growing up. I think that we forget how easy it is to change.
Well, and also what I wanted to say is that, you know, we give this power over to other outside forces, yeah, instead of exercising the power that God placed in us. And so, you know, I'm with you that some people have been set up for failure. Like, I am very real about that. Yeah. You know, many people have upbringings where they were not fed well. Nobody taught them anything about nutrition. And so we grow up not knowing these things. And that is where sometimes it's hard for people to swallow that pill that says, well, you're responsible. It's like, but I didn't know. And I get that. But we're all, you know, we're all ignorant in some areas. And there are people who are, I'm going to just use the term above us or ahead of us in those areas, who look upon us like, how'd you guys not know that or not do that? So, you know, the purpose of today really, though, is to point out that all of us are deficient in some area.
That's true.
And we, though, ultimately have control. So if we recognize that we're suffering in our health, what could we be doing? My position is just that I just cannot handle when people step back and say, I have no control over this. And it's like, you do have control over the choices that you make and the actions that you take. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's what this is ultimately going to boil down to.
It's not going to be a very popular message today.
No, it might not be. But you know what? The whole point is like,
it needs to be shared.
It needs to be shared. And I want to bring the truth. And, you know, again, to that point of, we haven't all been taught the right thing. Listen, many of us thought we were being taught the right thing. And now all of a sudden we realize like, oh, maybe vegetables are not as good for me as I thought after being sprayed with glyphosate and, you know, covered in Roundup. And maybe, just maybe, meat doesn't lead to heart disease. The problem is not the cholesterol in the food, but rather the state of our metabolic health, which then makes cholesterol a quote unquote problem. Yeah. So that's, I don't want to go too far with this. But I also want to say that while certain diseases may have certain genetic predispositions, your genetics are often said to be the gun. Your lifestyle is the trigger, or it's your finger on the trigger. And it's what we call epigenetics. You know, many of us could go down a different path, positive or negative, depending upon the choices that we make. So yes, genetically, I might be predisposed to being obese. However, if you're not pulling the obese trigger, then you're not going to be obese.
Yeah. The one that drives me the craziest, and again, I say this out of love, is type 2 diabetes. You know, it's, my mom had type 2 diabetes and, you know, I have type 2 diabetes. And like, that has everything to do with what you're eating. Like, the cool thing is you can reverse that literally by what you put in your mouth. But to your point, people are not taught that. Schools don't teach that.
Yeah.
So we do have to go out and be educated and educate ourselves. And again, when do we have time to do that? Well, that's why you're listening to us while you're driving to work or driving home from work, because we are inundated with a lot of stuff and a lot of responsibilities in life. But I would say the beautiful thing about the time that we live in now is that thing called the World Wide Web. You guys remember when that got launched, right? And you can go on and search for things. And granted, it's not always the best. So I think it's important to measure where the information is coming from. But I'm pretty sure every source is going to say excess sugar consumption is not good for your metabolic health.
Yeah. And just before moving on from this, I just want to say that although it is true, when you don't have your wife, your husband, your family on board, it's going to create headwind. You may realize that I need to do these things, but you may be getting resistance from others. But ultimately, it's your health. It's your choice.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
All right. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So I've heard this verse cited a lot when people are discussing the connection between health and the Bible. But it's important that we not take things out of context. So that's why I want to actually go to verse 18, which preceded 19, where Paul is talking about sexual immorality and how that was the only sin of the body. All other sins are outside the body. So while eating French fries, pizza, or ice cream is not a sin, Paul still has some perspective to share on this. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. So eating junk food isn't a sin, but gluttony is. And as Paul says in Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach.
Wow, I've actually never heard that.
Yeah, so this is where, in my opinion though, there is a Christian-specific struggle, as you had alluded to earlier. And here's where this comes from. You had mentioned, you know, sometimes we can sit in church and we look around and we're looking at these people and we're saying, man, this person, you know, they're so filled with the Holy Spirit. They're, you know, they are so cognizant of trying to live a righteous life, because none of us are. I want to make that also very clear
Not perfect. From now.
Nobody is perfect. And we know many people personally who they actually got out of very unhealthy lifestyles and habits.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a lot of people who do come to Christianity, when they begin their journey, it's because they're struggling in some major way. So for some people, it's alcohol. Others, it's drug addiction. Others, it could be gambling.
Pornography.
Like, yeah. It could be all these things. And now what happens is they find something to fill that void. That, in this case, being Jesus, God, faith, whatever you want to call it, right? And so they're getting filled in this way now, and they can leave many of those vices behind. But what happens is they still fail to recognize that they've opened the door to other vices at times. And the vice that they often fall back on is food. And it goes back to what I was saying before. Nobody looks at food or eating certain foods as being sinful.
Yeah.
Just like we'll often say, like, there's no bad foods, but we know that there are foods that are not good for us. Like, at the end of the day, it's that, go ahead.
Well, I love how Mary Roberts had said, you know, a couple episodes back that, you know, we need food to live. And so how can food be good or bad? And coming off the heels of that episode, because I really still do take the stance. I don't like to look at food as good or bad, because I think we like that mindset where, like, we want to do the thing we're told we can't do. So when we say, like, candy is bad, we have this crazy part of our brain that wants to go and consume candy. I just like to look at it is it food or is it not food? And a lot of the things that are sold in the center of the grocery store that a lot of people consume and end up becoming obese from are chips. Chips are not food. It's literally flour ground down, fried in oil, salted or flavored with some scientific concoction that makes nachos taste like, you know, jalapeno beef sticks. You know, it's so bizarre, like what we do, and then colored and dyed and all the stuff. That's not food. Oreos are not food. Chips Ahoy are not food. These things are not food. And I guess it really just comes back to how we define food, because food could just be defined as something that your body can consume. But I like to look at food as the definition of something that provides sustenance or nutrients. And so looking from that perspective, people who joke about, I gave up alcohol, but I can't get over my sugar addiction. I stopped with the drugs, but I just love, you know, my ice cream or whatever else it is. It's hard for us to remove something, anything. You know, I think that goes back to like Newton's law. You can't take something away and have nothing there. It will be filled by something. And that's why I think it's so important for us to choose what it's filled by, because it's so easy to lean on food as the filler.
Well, and especially in social circumstances, you know, we've seen this a lot in attending different church functions, whether it's me going to the men's group, you going to a woman's event. I mean, since nobody's having drinks, right? Everybody is on their quote best behavior. what winds up being present is a whole lot of sugary, fatty foods, right? Foods that don't serve our health and are not nutritious to our body. Yeah. And in these circumstances, there's almost never anything healthy available. Like, at least from the events that I've attended. And I know that this is not just a Christian problem. Like,
no, this is
a problem in general.
Break rooms, construction, you know, workplaces, teaching facilities.
I mean, but I just, like I said, I go back to what we've observed. We've seen, I think what's sometimes challenging is we've seen so many people who have had great breakthroughs and have overcome many of these other struggles and challenges only to present themselves with a new struggle and challenge. Yeah. And not recognizing it because it's not, quote, a sin to be doing these things. And also, by the way, the Bible doesn't even say that drinking is a sin. It just says being a drunk is a sin. So having an occasional drink here or there, if you can handle that, that's not really an issue. But where it becomes an issue for all of us is that if we're doing it so consistently that it's now impacting our health.
Yeah. I think to that exact point, Mary Roberts covered that beautifully and you just reiterated it. And I want to say it one other way. It's, we'll look at alcohol, and if you struggle with alcohol, you stop drinking alcohol. We struggle with sugar, but we don't stop eating sugar. You know, it is a drug. It's more impactful on your brain than cocaine. Sugar.
Crazy.
Sugar is more impactful. So,
hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
So we're reminded, though, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to care for and respect our bodies because God, the Holy Spirit, which we believe, lives in us. And to mistreat the body, whether that's through sexual immorality or gluttony or any other manner, is to mistreat God's temple. So while that may sound convicting to some Christians, it's what the word itself tells us. I mean, it's in there. Our problem is that we have this intellectual understanding of these things, but we lack the practical application. We don't know, how am I supposed to be eating healthy? We don't know, how am I supposed to be exercising? How do I kick this sugar addiction that's gripped me for most of my life? But as we pointed out, and in so many other episodes, none of this actually has to be really complicated or very difficult. And it also doesn't mean that food or life in general needs to be boring. I think I always laugh because I'm just going to take another quick aside. You know, I know that people sometimes will view Christians as being boring. They must be boring because they don't drink, they don't do anything. And it's like, it's
more fun than anybody else.
It's like, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
And I know that's what like deters many people from, you know, all faiths in general, like, oh, what's my life going to look like now? It's going to look so boring. And it really is anything but that. Mm. So even though we are looking to, again, take some of these things out of our lifestyle or dramatically reduce our consumption of these things, it doesn't make life any less boring. But I will say this, that if somebody out there is listening to this and they feel like, okay, you know, this sounds great, but this is going to be hard. I'm going to be honest. It is hard. Like, all of this does require work on all of our part, but I think the work is worth it in the end. It'll also require, and I love this quote, it will require that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as it says in Romans 12:2. And speaking of Romans 12:2, I mean, I think a lot of people, well, let's just talk about the full statement in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I'm going to ask you a question. Like, how many people do you know, like, this is one of their favorite scriptures or, you
one.
Know, all-time quotes? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like this is so many men that I've talked to, like, this is in their top 10 of all time favorite scriptures. Yeah, because I guess that whole concept of, again, recognizing we need to renew our mind in order to be transformed. I think it does speak a lot to how much we do need to work on our mindset. I thought you as the mindset queen would.
I love that one. I'll be honest. I love 2 Timothy 1:7, which is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So I guess I just like another mindset quote. Well, scripture, not quote.
Well, for all those who do have this in their top 10 of all-time scriptures, I'm gonna recommend something. I think that Romans 12:1 should actually be in that top 10 as well. So I'm gonna ask you to do me a favor. Why don't you go ahead and open up the Bible on your phone there and read for us what
Romans.
You guys
know, you can get the Bible on your phone. Oh, yeah. You know you can do that? It's pretty cool. It's free. YouVersion.
Yeah, I want you to read what Romans 12:1 says.
It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship."
Offer your bodies. This is your true and proper worship. So what's cool about this is Paul saying that God showed us mercy. And so as a result of that, we should be offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. And at the time of Paul's writing, a sacrifice was most often considered an unblemished animal. So according to the Bible, why was Jesus offered as a sacrifice for us? It was because he was unblemished. He was the only human to ever walk the earth that was considered completely unblemished, no sin whatsoever. And he was unblemished, though, in every way. Now, we've heard that Jesus ate bread, right? Yeah, I'm going to totally go here for a second.
He broke it.
Yes.
And then he ate it.
But Jesus wasn't going to Arthur Avenue buying loaves of bread. He wasn't
dipping in the olive oil.
He wasn't having this to go along with his, you know, his ravioli, cannoli, and pignoli cookies. Gluttony did not exist in his life. So that's why I always laugh too. I'm like, well, Jesus ate bread. Yeah, but
not to the extent that we do today.
I think he had some carb control.
Yes.
And also, I mean, you look at him between being a carpenter, basically being on the road for 3 years, right? Constantly getting in and out of boats, physical labor. I mean, you name it. Like, I always imagine that Jesus was probably like a pretty fit guy.
Yeah.
I mean, most likely sporting 6-pack abs.
Well, it's funny. So there's a series called The Chosen. And again, if you're new in your faith or deep in your faith or wherever you are, I think it's a really amazing series to look at possibly with the personalities of some of these real people from the Bible historically were like. And they're all fit. I mean, forget about it, Mike. You can look back 90 years and like everyone on a beach in America was fit.
We don't need to go back 2,000 years
But I agree. It's food was, I mean, listen, you can throw in the Industrial Revolution. There's so many things that have happened in human history that have created subsidized foods like our corn and our sugar and made things so cheap and so inexpensive. I mean, gosh, we came up with a way to get rid of motor oil by putting it in people's, you know, food. And then we eat it and we're like, oh, seed oils must be good. It comes from seeds. But when you think back to the lives that they lived, I want to believe that they were really purposeful lives. I think we're so distracted, which is why I love this episode specifically to really just bring people back to center and basics that, yeah, Jesus, did he drink wine? I know he made water into wine. I don't know if it ever talks about if he drank it or not, but there was wine.
I don't know how you can make that good of wine and not take a sip.
He's like, I just know what this is tasting like. But water and fish and bread, I mean, it was food. It provided some nutrient value where, again, you look around today. I mean, I love taking our kids into the supermarket. I'm like, is it food? You know, like there's that show on Netflix, is it cake? We go in the supermarket. I'm like, is it food? And they look at podcasts. They're like, that's not food. But we've been convinced and brainwashed to believe that this stuff is food. You should never be eating this or putting this stuff in your body. So yes, I do believe Jesus was fit. I believe Jesus was healthy. I believe Jesus was active. I mean, when you start to look again, historically at everything that happened during that time and before and after, yeah, I'm sure people were not worrying about obesity and all the things that we are today.
No, definitely not. Well, I also found it interesting in studying this topic that more than anyone else in the Bible, Paul is constantly making references to the body and its importance and draws all of these parallels between spiritual growth and physical activity.
I just think of Paul as like a biblical bodybuilder or something.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about it today, but I did have this vision of, you know, I had painted when I had presented this to men, this vision of Paul. And, you know, there's some historical references to him, maybe not necessarily being like a big guy and things like that.
He's a little taller, though.
No, I don't think so. Actually, I mean, again, I'm just speaking off the cuff. I heard that he may have been more probably like my size, not a big guy at all. But you think about the fact that, you know, this guy was shipwrecked, had to swim for miles in order to get to shore, was imprisoned a few times. I don't know if he was like lifting stones in the yard or whatever, but like I envision that with his level of activity and all the places he was constantly traveling to, he probably was in excellent shape. And I'm going to point to one other thing in a little bit about that. But, you know, some other things I had already given you Romans 12:1, 1 Corinthians 6:19. But here are some other things that Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, verses 16 to 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that holy temple.
It's a really strong statement.
That's a very strong statement. And, you know, aside from the gluttony and sexual immorality Paul mentioned, well, those are the ones that Paul mentioned, but what other ways do you think maybe we could be destroying this temple?
Well, I think there's obvious things that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and it's not getting enough sleep. It's not exercising. Probably you could throw in there getting drunk, getting high. And I think just reflecting on my own self, like overuse of stimulants, coffee for me was that thing where I was like, no more. And we're 2.5 months now, no coffee.
Look at you go.
I think also probably like under exercising so that we are weak. I think we call it skinny fat or flabby, but also there's over-exercising. You know, I think all of those things are ways that, yeah, we're definitely not caring for our temple, our body.
No, I mean, 100% agree. And I think when you get past the obvious stuff like the drugs and the alcohol, like then maybe you start to realize that, well, maybe you also shouldn't be so judgy sometimes because, you know,
you're saying it to me or
No. I'm saying in general because
like, stop being judgy.
We all have habits that might not be so pleasing to God, if you will. So although we may say like, oh, I'm in great shape, I exercise all the time. It's like, but how is that affecting your body? God doesn't care how many days a week you exercise or for how many hours you exercise. It's more about this concept of caring for your body. And for some people, overexercising really is a problem. I mean, we tend to view it as always being this positive thing, but as we've pointed out many times before, it can have a negative impact if it's abused.
Right.
Just like you can abuse anything that is, quote, good, abuse of it can very, very quickly turn things south. So how about a few more gems from Paul?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. How about 1 Corinthians 9:26 to 27? Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And this is what I was just alluding to a moment ago. That's not a description given by somebody who's just
passive,
sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds like somebody who is physically active, who understands what it takes, the discipline that it takes. I mean, there's a certain intensity behind his words. To me, they're spoken like he's a competitive athlete.
Yeah. No, I agree completely.
Then 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so here, I believe that he's talking about fueling the machine that is your body.
I love that so much. I think a lot of people walk around confused with their purpose. You know, it's like whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. But I think a lot of people miss that first part, whatever you eat or drink, right? Or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I mean, I want everything that we do to be to the honor and glory of God. And that really helps me to check, you know, my past judginess. And honestly, we're human, you know? Like I would laugh if someone was like, I've never judged. Yes, you have. You know, that is just part of the human condition. I mean, we're constantly comparing. I think it's actually the amygdala in the brain. Like it's a comparison mechanism. We're always looking like they're not eating healthy. I'm eating healthy. You know, they're exercising too much or too little or whatever it is. But what a great reminder. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're putting in your body, eating, drinking, doing, do it to the honor and glory of God. It helps us to overcome maybe some of like our carnal desires. Like,
and what I like about this too is it's not saying that you have to do any of these things perfectly. You know, what we're saying is simply that you, if as long as you go about these things with the right intention, you can always learn if there's a better way or if the thing that you have been doing has not been fruitful for your body or for your health. So we don't have all the answers. I mean, we're constantly searching for it. But I think when you're operating out of that mindset of when I eat, I'm going to eat to the glory of God. That means I'm not going to be a glutton, or I'm going to try to eat healthy. Or if I have a drink, you know, I'm going to enjoy this drink, and I'm not going to become a drunkard as a result of having this drink. So I think that intention is everything. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about.
I want to pause on that point for just a brief moment. And that is that perfection piece, because I will say, I believe a lot of people outside looking in at Christians have this weird like belief that they're perfect, or they have to be perfect. And especially with social media, you see a lot of Christians being called out like, that's not very Christian, or like, that's not very Christian-like. And I think what you said is so beautiful that I just want to emphasize. And that is that it's our intention, right? We're going to mess up. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. You're going to eat the cake, and you're going to eat three slices of it instead of half that you intended upon, right? But we're always aiming to do better for something greater than ourselves. And I believe that that is what Jesus came to show us and what Christianity is actually about. I really don't like it when people twist it, because you see a lot of division, even in churches, like they're not Christian. Like, what does that even mean? You know, it's the intention behind what we're doing, and really only you know that. And so if we put God first and center, I love how in coaching we talked about, you know, if our first priority is actually not each other, it's God. It's not the ice cream. It's not my workouts. You know, it's God. And then after God at the top, then it's your spouse, then it's your kids, right? Family, friends, and everything out after. If we're always focused on God first, it will always bring us closer together. And I believe that about our eating habits, the way we care for our body. If we're focusing on what God says about the way that we care for our body, we'll always work to do better. And it is never about being perfect, not you or anyone else that you see. We're all going to mess up. That's part of being a human.
Absolutely. Amen. Well,
preach.
So 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness and reverence to God. Next one, though.
Wait. Contaminates. What would you say are things that contaminate our body and spirit? I think it's everything we talked about. But yeah. What do you take out of that?
I mean, that's exactly what I take out of it. I think that, number one, going back to this purpose of intention. You know, what is my intention with the foods that I'm eating, the things that I'm drinking, the way that I'm living my lifestyle? And then it's recognizing that there are things that we could consume, be it alcohol or foods, that we know may not be the best things for us. But having that self-control and having that mindfulness that if I have this, okay, probably not the best thing. But to me, contaminating is saying, well, I'm just going to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Or I don't care. Or going back to what Paul said earlier, I have the right to do anything, but everything that you do may not be beneficial. And it's just that level of recognition.
I love that. And I think that that is another beautiful element of Christianity, is that God gives everyone free will. You can do whatever you want. You know, he's not sitting up there with his thumb, you know, hang on, you're not going to reach enlightenment if you don't do this, or you're not going to get your title if you don't knock this
not
many doors.
Enter the gates of heaven.
I mean, truly, you are given free will. You can do whatever you want, but don't do things that contaminate your body or your spirit. And I think a lot of what we view on TV and the news and social media contaminates our spirit.
True. All right. Well, 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I call this one the justification verse. And the reason why I call this the justification verse is because I've heard a lot of Christians say something to the effect that, like, you see, God doesn't put the focus on your body. It's all about trying to be godly. And as long as I'm trying to be godly, well, it doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter, because I'm going to leave this body behind, and it's my spirit that's going to go up. And since my spirit is just a blessing unto others, and I am so spiritual,
I could be 400 pounds obese.
It doesn't matter, right? And to some degree, they're right. But then I go back to Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Yeah. So which is it? Is he really, is Paul really being dismissive about the importance of physical training in 1 Timothy?
No, he's just pointing to the importance of godliness, right? Like this. And physical training is right up there of great importance, but God doesn't want us to idolize anything above him. And so you cannot idolize your physical training above God. It is godliness. And then we can put physical care of our bodies in there.
Yeah, I mean, I almost envision like Paul's tonality when he's saying this as physical training. I mean, it's of some value. Like this is going to be pretty important because you have to live and operate in this vessel. So you should take good care of it. But this other stuff definitely holds precedence over it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he's being dismissive. Again, we both think that Paul was probably a pretty fit dude. So, all right. Well, he goes on to say in Ephesians 5:29, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So this is where I'd ask each of us to just reflect on this for a moment and ask, you know, am I genuinely feeding and caring for my body? Mm. You know, because listen, some of you right now are fighting spiritual battle. Mm. Some of you are fighting health-related battles. Some of you are under tremendous physical and mental stress. And then some of you are just running at like 100 miles per hour all the time. The question becomes, are you physically up to that task? Because we're all going to get hit with these things at some point or another. The question becomes, you know, have we made it our priority to be able to be able to take these things on, or have we become prisoners in our own body?
Wow.
And some of us, I just think we need to approach our health and fitness the same way that we do getting into the Word each day. Right? I mean, how many Christians do we talk to that all the time they're talking about the importance of getting into the Word each day and being consistent with reading your Bible or picking it up? And I think that many need to take that same approach when it comes to their fitness and their nutrition. There's a certain level of consistency that, to me, lines up with the Word of God that says you should be focused on these things each day. And I'm not saying that you need to work out every day or always do something, but it's that cognizant, it's that practicing, that repetition of doing all these things that are good and pleasing to God.
Well, God created us mind, body, spirit, right? God made that. And so, yeah, I'm 100% with you. It is important, very important.
So since you're the queen of analogies, have you ever heard that the analogy, it's often given in business and personal development, of the bamboo shoots?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share with our audience, if you've never heard this analogy,
I think it's
really, really cool. So when you plant bamboo shoots, initially not much happens. You know, I think that as it goes, if you were to plant a bamboo shoot, you don't see anything happening within the first year. And we may see it grow only several inches, but you give it 2 years and it starts to double in size. So now we're starting to make some progress. But I believe it's about after year three that bamboo literally shoots up. And not only does it shoot up, but it's strong. And when it comes to our fitness, it's very much the same way. But this is where people get tripped up. They get started on this journey. They recognize that I need to start exercising. I need to start eating better. And they begin the process. But on the surface, they're not seeing a lot of progress at all. They're just doing these things. And it's like, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Mm. But what many people fail to recognize is, just like those bamboo shoots, the only reason why the bamboo shoots are able to take off in year three is because, even though on the surface during those first 2 years we're not seeing a lot of growth, all the growth is happening underneath the soil.
So good.
Those roots are going deeper. They're going wider. They're spreading out. They're now collecting all the nutrients and strengthening the foundation from which that bamboo is going to be able to stand tall, stand strong. And it's no different with our bodies. And so I am speaking right now to those of you out there, you spiritual types, you faith-based people who are quitting way too early.
Yeah.
I mean, this speaks to everyone, but I think it's important that we understand that we need to build a foundation. And listen, many of the Christians here should be able to relate this back to their journey or their walk. That when you began, maybe on the outside, you didn't have a lot of spiritual growth going on, but what did you do? You remain consistent with the activities of getting into the word, going to church, you know, listening to or following devotionals. And you started to build that foundation. And then after year three or four or five in your walk, now you're strong. You feel like you can do this walk. You can handle the pressures that come upon you. And it's no different when it comes to our fitness. We need to build these deep roots, have this strong foundation, even though you might not be seeing everything on the surface happen the way that you would like to see it happen. And that's very difficult, but it's an important message for people to understand that that is the only way we have success with any of this.
Yeah, you saying that, I just wrote, you know, our journey happens regardless. Regardless of you being healthy, ill, rich, poor, your journey is going to happen. And the state in which our mind, body, and spirit are in when we go through that journey, it dictates our resilience to walk through that journey. Now, the one thing that we do have control over, because we don't have control necessarily over our full journey, but we have control over our foundation. You know, the foundation is actually what we build. And I think back to just a couple of, I guess, more recent comments I had shared. March is the month that we lost Grace, our daughter. And I made a post about it and someone commented, I wish my faith was as strong as yours. And what I want to say to that about faith, and also people that'll say like, you know, I was a dude and I look like Mike's chest. Or they always want my arms, right? It's that stuff doesn't just happen overnight. You know, as we're walking through our journey, what is the foundation you're laying? And for us in our faith, it is getting in the word every day in some capacity. It is not a perfect hour of reading the Bible and then journaling and then worship music. Sometimes it's 5 minutes on my phone app, like YouVersion, like what is the scripture of the day? Sometimes I'll shoot it out to a friend via text and then I move on. And it is that consistent focus on building that foundation every day that when you encounter a loss, a temptation, maybe just you just get sidelined from where it was that you were heading for whatever reason or circumstance, because you don't have total control over your journey. It's going to happen. What foundation have you built to help you endure that season of your journey? And we can put food, fitness, and faith side by side, because the measure of what you've built is how you will handle life's challenges. And I do look at what we've walked through so many different seasons. We had a strong faith because we built it every single day.
Yeah. And to that, to the earlier point, which ties right in, physically, we're all going to have a time in which we are going to be encountered with something that maybe wasn't in our control, something unexpected.
March 2020 hit. No one was prepared for that.
Yeah.
But you start to look at the comorbidities, people who were not healthy and also people that were healthy too, right? There's always outliers, were ending up in the hospital.
Yeah.
People that were obese died at a higher rate than those that were not.
Sure.
So, yes.
It's laying that foundation though. If you are keeping yourself physically fit, even though we may not always be able to control the outcome, we have, you know, we're putting ourselves in a better position to be able to handle whatever is thrown at us.
Because it's going to come.
It's going to come.
It's
going to come. All right. So we're going to finish up with just two more verses here. Next one is Acts 20. In Acts 20, Luke is writing about Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to face all these hardships and be in prison. So Paul already knew what's coming. But Paul says to them in verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So the question that I pose is this, and I posed it earlier. Do you have the physical strength? Do you have the stamina? Do you have the health to finish your race? You might not be running Paul's race right now. I like to think all of us really are, but if that's not you, we're all running some type of race. We all, at the end of the day, have some mission. We all have some purpose. We say it all the time. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And the question becomes, though, if you recognize what that purpose is, if you already know what that is, great. If you're still trying to find it, that's still great. The point is that you're going to need to have the strength and the stamina physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to be able to complete that task. And that's what Paul recognized. And that's why I just love all of his statements throughout the Bible, that he always points back to this need to be physically fit, because he recognized that I needed to be physically fit to be able to do the work that he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave off with this. In the Old Testament, in Nehemiah 10, we're painted this scene where Nehemiah, the priests, the Levites, leaders, the gatekeepers, and all the people are making a pledge to God. And they lay out all the ways in which they are going to honor God, including all the offerings that they're going to bring to the temple of God. Now, this oftentimes included their first, what we always call first fruits, right? So it was the first of their crops, the first of their grain, their fruit, their wine, olive oil, money, right? All of those things come first and they are presented to God. The very last sentence of Nehemiah 10 says, quote, "We will not neglect the house of God." And they are agreeing not to neglect the temple where God lived among them. Don't forget, if our body is a temple, then we must not neglect it either. And I'm just going to close actually with one more. Isaiah 40 verses 29 to 31, which says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." So in that, it's clear that Isaiah is talking about spiritual strength and power, but then that very last sentence, "They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Why would the prophet Isaiah use physical outcomes to express spiritual growth and strengthening?
Really good.
Yeah. And I believe it's there because there is not a person living who would not desire to be more physically strong or have greater endurance, because with those physical attributes, you know, we can do so much more. However, those attributes are not automatically endowed upon us when God strengthens us spiritually. God giving us, quote, "the strength" is to help us get off the couch. It's the inspiration to get started, but the rest is up to us.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.